I want to say what a gracious minister we have. Because I stood up last week so excited about what God was telling me on Saturday night when I was having some quiet time with God. I came up here on Sunday morning and was so excited and said, I'm speaking next week. And when I went home and looked at the rotor, I wasn't. So I had to ring Mark. I said, Mark. And he went, it's all right. I'm down for next week. You're okay. Isn't that gracious? Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
But he did that. So I'm still excited about what God was speaking to me about. And what God was speaking to me about was, as I look out at 2023, what is he going to do with us? You might say, well, I've got 2023 sorted. I've got my holiday booked. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing at work. I know what I'm doing here. I know what I'm doing there. But the thing I want to ask you this morning is, what is God going to do with you in 2023? You're on an adventure, yeah. But I also want to remind you of some other things from 2022 that God has already been speaking to us about. So this morning I'm going to round up a few things. So I got asked about, my list of scriptures and up there and everything. And I said, I haven't got that much to go up behind me this morning, which is unusual for me. Because I want to a bit more of a conversation with you this morning. So I'm going to ask you to participate. So every now and again, I'll ask you a question and you need to stick your hand up or look at me and smile. Okay. But I feel that God wants to remind us of some of the things. So just before COVID, Vivian will bear witness to this because we've had quite a few conversations about this. God reminded us in January, February, that we will never be alone. That he's got our back, that he's at the side of us, that he goes in front of us, and that he's with us all the time. And that sustained me all the way through COVID. I had no doubt about where God was. And when I talked before about kind of taking part with me, I want you to do something now, and I'll know if you're listening because I'm watching you. I want you to take a breath in and then gently release it. Have you all done that? You're nodding. I told you I want you to be a bit more interactive this morning. I'm not doing the American thing, asking you to shout out or anything. But I just want you to participate this morning.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah. So you breathe in then and you breathe out. Right? What I want to say to you this morning is God is as close to you as that breath. It's very hard for us to understand how close God is. But you breath it in and you breath out. And I want to tell you this morning that God is as close to you as that breath. I don't care whether you've been to church all your life, whether you're a Christian, you're not a Christian, whether you just attended. I just want to tell you this morning that God is as close to you as that breath. And that never changes. The only thing that changes is us. That never changes. That is constant. God is close to us as that breath. You know, we've continued together in person, we've continued together virtually, and sometimes that's been really tough, hasn't it? I'm so glad that this church does not rely on me and a video or anything virtual, because I can just about work my WhatsApp out. That's as good as I get, and even that I get in a mess sometimes. I can ring the wrong people, I can send messages to the wrong people. I sent some stuff to Sue the other week to encourage her, and I sent her all the wrong stuff. I'd been on my WhatsApp, I'd been listening to different things. I sent her two links and there were nothing like what I was telling her to listen to. And she sent it me back and said, these are the right links. And no, they weren't. But I don't make any excuses. I've been thinking about what our roles are. And I've been thinking about this towards the end of last year and in the beginning of this year. And for those of you, afterwards, read Hebrews 10. And the gist of that is that it talks about when the priest brought an offering. I'm just going to very quickly just go through it. In the Old Testament, the priest had to bring an offering for the righteousness of all the people that were in the temple. And what they used to do was they used to get a lamb, a sacrifice, and they used to sacrifice that. And that cleansed everybody for up to that period and beyond for a while of their sins, and it was done annually, and the priest would come. And we know the story that if the priest wasn't walking with God right, when he got to the altar, if he was the sort of person who wasn't living, what he wasn't godly, he wasn't holy, they used to put some string around the feet, and if they weren't right with God, they went bump, and then they were pulled out by the feet because they'd gone. That's how holy our God is. And in the Old Testament, that's what they used to do, and they used to sacrifice animals and all sorts of things. But Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus was sacrificed once and for all, for all the things we've ever done wrong. Now, what that makes us is, and I've thought long and hard about this, because of that means that you and I, now that Jesus has gone and made that sacrifice and sent his Holy Spirit to empower us, that we are his representatives on earth. Yes? And it even says priest. Now, if somebody said to me, you're a priest, I'd laugh. I'd think, I'm not a priest. I'm not good enough. I'm not holy enough. I make mistakes. I don't do things right all the time. I don't think things that are right all the time. But I want to tell you this morning, that's what we are. You are a priest. I'm a priest. Because we've been given that now that Jesus has gone. And the Holy Spirit is with us to enable us to be what we should be. And that's what I want to talk about. And I don't want you to think, your first thought, as soon as I thought, I can't be a priest. I can't be that because I'm not good enough. I make mistakes, I mess things up, I get things wrong. And I want you to park that thought completely. I want you to push that to one side completely. And I want to tell you what you are. Ephesians 4, could you put that scripture up for me? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk away. This is Paul speaking. To walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. My phone's pinging. Let me just give this to my husband so he can turn it off, because it'll ping all the way through. Thanks. So we've been given gifts. You've been given gifts. You've been given talents. You've been given things that... You know, some of you are engineers. Some of you can make beautiful things on a machine. Some of you can knit. Those of you know that I can't crochet. Some of you can draw. I'm going to talk about Lynn in a bit. Some of you can play music. Some of you can sing. You've all got something. Some of you are good listeners. Some of you are good prayers. You've all got something to contribute. The priest, the definition of a priest, is a person who doesn't live for themselves. They live for God and are a servant, doing what he wants them to do. So when you think about what does a priest do, he looks up and they look across. And we know that. We often say, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbour as yourself. We use that a lot. But in this sense, the priest looks upward and mankind, our neighbour, our friend, people that we mix with, each other. In our love and worship and walk with him, it's there that our priesthood begins, with those around us. In conversations, we're listening, becoming aware of needs. I went to the post office the other day. A few weeks ago, my car wouldn't start. And you know where I live, you know, we know a lot of our neighbours and everything. And this lad's there, and I've known him a long time, and he's walking his dog. And Andy's in the car and he won't start. And he's saying, right, we'll have to push it, love. And I just thought, we can't push this car. So he says, get out and we'll have to push it together. And I thought, there's no chance that I can hold the steering wheel, steer this car between two parked cars and push it. I just thought, I just looked at him and started laughing. And then this lad's walking up with his dog. And I said, oh, I'm so glad you're there. He looked at me. He went, why? I said, let me have your dog. I said, Andy needs help with this car. I says, no, I can't do it, and he can't do it on his own. So I had the dog, and he's there, and they're talking to each other, and they jump start, you know, they pushed it and got it going and everything else. And then I went to the post office a couple of days later, and I bumped into this lad, and I said, hiya. I said, how are you? It's just before Christmas. I said, how are you doing? He went, I said, oh, what's the matter? He said, my dad's dying. And his dad's 60. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I'm waiting for a call to go to the hospital. He said, I've been and I've come home. And I said, oh, what an emotional roller coaster for you. I said, how hard is that? And he said, I know, he said, I don't know what to do. So I said to him, I really felt for him, you know, the compassion that God gives you. And I just said, we can pray. He said, will you? I said, yeah. Will you pray for us? I said, yeah. I'm going to pray. I said, that in this situation, God will help you. And he went, really? I said, yeah. Not seen him since. And it's likely his father's probably passed away. But you know, because I know this lad, I only know him to say hello to. I just about know his name. I know his house number. But I just felt straight away to say to him, we can pray. I said, I've got people, I said, in the church that I know I can tell them they'll pray. Have you? He said, I'm not really anywhere with God. He said, I've been brought up a Catholic. And I said, have you? He said, yeah. He said, my wife doesn't understand any of it, that I've still got a faith. And I went, but I said, God knows. But I had that release straight away just to say those things to him. And I was really grateful that I could. And it was literally in the doorway of the post office. He stepped back as I stepped in, and then we both stepped outside. Your purpose is to be in the middle of those in need. So, well, how can I do it? You can only do it if God strengthens you. You can only do it when you ask God. You can only do it in your personal life, in your personal walk. You know, and I don't care how strong your faith is. God's bigger than you are and me. And all we've got to do is ask him to help us. He tells us that when we ask him, that he's with us. He tells us that when we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. To live for God and serving people and loving them as a representative. Those of you that have had the new birth, those of you that have had a spiritual experience, you're accepted. But there is a further consecration, you see. What I'm talking about here is, you know, if I lived just to paddle my own boat, I'd have gone in that post office, not spoke to that lad, not had a conversation, I'd have just gone in and come out. Some Christians, some of you in here, it's not about you paddling your own boat. It really isn't, because there are people who you connect with, you work with, your neighbour, might be a stranger somewhere. God gives you an opportunity to speak to someone. You're not in this Christian life to paddle your own boat. Christ died for more than that. It's not enough to be saved, as we could say it. You know, by your new birth, you are accepted. Sacrifice of the blood, the Lamb of God, was given so we could have a new life. Not something that has to be kept being renewed by a regular sacrifice like the old priest did. Jesus left and gave us the Holy Spirit, which is given to empower us, truth, and to remove the sense of unfitness. You see, if I'd known I was going to have that conversation with that lad and thought about it, I would have never had it. I wouldn't. Even though I'm quite confident, if somebody had said to me, you're going to do this, I'd have thought, oh, there's no chance I'd be doing that today. But because I've got a relationship with God and it's ongoing and I'm talking to him on a regular basis and I'm asking him what I should do, it was an easy conversation because I really felt it was an opportunity. It just happened. And I believe it was a God opportunity. This brings an acceptance from us to come before God and a passion for God and for people to find that relationship with God for themselves so they experience what was intended for them in this life. This is our inheritance. You know, when someone passes away and leaves money, when they pass away at first, it's just there, isn't it? You know, you go through probate, you go through all these things, but all that time, that money's still sat there. It's not gone anywhere. It's not done anything. And those of us that have had the situation where we've had some money or had an inheritance, boy, what responsibility is when you get it, because most of us only ever get it once. And when you do get it, you don't want to let the person who's left you that money down. You want to spend it well. You want to, you're very conscious of that person's life savings or that house. And we work really hard to do the best with it. But you know, what we're doing with the inheritance that you've got? What are you doing in 2023 with the inheritance that you've got? I want to encourage you this morning to really live in that inheritance. That's what I want for you. It's what we want as a leadership. And we're going to put a program together this year. For those of you that don't feel you're in the place for some of the things I'm talking about to grow, and there'll be some discipleship and some more teaching this year that we're putting together for that. But talk to us. Please talk to us. We want you to be successful in your Christian life. I was listening to an interview with Prue Leaf. Do any of you watch Bake Off? Yeah? She's in 83 next month. Can you believe it? The lady with the coloured glasses. She's 83 and she's about to start an American tour. I thought, she's 83 and she's about to start. And she was asked in this interview, what's the secret of your success? And she said, and it follows on very well from what Mark said last week, and I hadn't heard Mark's word when I prepared this. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and me about how we use our time and what we do. And Mark said this last week, and I'd already written it down. It's in the here and now. She said, I live in the here and now. I live in the present. I thought, isn't that amazing? 83 and she lives in the present. I thought, thank, that's amazing that. I thought, what a good attitude to have. And then I would add, as a Christian, I want to live in the here and now and the presence and his presence. That's how I want to live, in his presence. So all those things in the natural, but then in the spiritual and in his presence. As Christians, there's a cost. Living a focused life, there is a cost. What does God want? You know, we used to have the wristbands, what would Jesus do? We used to have them on when we were growing up, what would Jesus do? To live a life that's focused on God, there is a cost. It's a life not just content with our own Christianity, but keeping ourselves okay for being a servant for others, giving of ourselves, doing the extra things required of us, prayer, whatever God asks of you. It may be a task, a gift to share, a word from God, a word that you have read, prayed over, dug, excavated, and found a jewel. We've got a great theologian in Jed. We are so blessed in this church. I think in my own living memory of being here, I have never known anyone who theologically is as sound as Jed and the depth that we've got. And I'm so grateful for that. The book of James says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. And other translations say, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And that's James 5, verse 16. The power to be able to pray is amazing, and accomplishing what you pray. Bringing it before God on behalf of others. A closeness where blessings are prayed for on those who we have contact with. We pray on their behalf when they can't pray or don't know how to pray. What a privilege. So you know where I'm going now, don't you? Talk about Lynn. I was thinking about Lynn when she was unwell. I was thinking about what an impact she has had on this church. I was thinking about all the things she did. And I've asked Roy's permission to say a few things this morning. I've been in contact with him and said, I just want to talk about Lynn for a few minutes this morning. But I want to talk about this because I want to explain a little bit more about the priest role. Because Lynn was an example of a woman who lived as a priest. So I want to ask you something. Those of you that are here this morning, raise your hand if Lynn taught you to paint. Yeah? Good. Raise your hand if Lynn, you text Lynn for prayer. Yeah. Lynn had an impact on our lives. She didn't just live life for herself. She shared herself. You see, each one of us has a plate and a role. And you might have a fledgling gift. You might have something that's kind of an idea or something. But we had a treasure. She shared herself, her beautiful smile and her beautiful sweet spirit. I remember one day when she sat and she sent us a list of things to pray for. And as I read it, I thought, wow, I couldn't do what Lynn does. I sat there and thought, I couldn't do this, Lord. I couldn't do this. But she was so good at dealing with it all. And when I spoke to her, she said, well, it's just what we do, isn't it? If she'd not taken up that role, just think how many unanswered prayers we'd have. How many people wouldn't have been prayed for. How many of you would have not been confident knowing that she was praying? Uncoordinated and ineffectual. Phrases like, she used to say things like, God will make a way where there isn't a way. I remember talking to her quite a lot about that. What an encourager. And she used to say, I'm on it. I'm on it. I love that. I'm on it. It's great, isn't it, to hear somebody go, I'm on it. She was my prayer partner for the last 3 years. Constant conversation with God and the Holy Spirit. That's what Lynn had. Constant conversation. What an example. And now she's received her inheritance. A place with God. So being a priest is to practically meet people's needs inside church and outside and serve and love those we meet. Rakia last week shared a really good testimony about how God's revealed to her that she's not just at work for herself, but she's at work for her work colleagues. Her presence is having an influence in the workplace. See, they talk about people being influencers. Have you heard that? Oh, they're influencers. I thought, what are they on about? And apparently it's people who've got a lot of influence, like on the internet, that sort of thing, about what you buy and what and all that sort of stuff. And I thought, all right, okay. Well, I want to be a different influencer. You know, some people are in church early on a Sunday morning, and you know why they're here early, so that it can talk to you before when you come in. You won't probably know that, but I've noticed. They're here early so they can talk to you, so when you arrive, so they can have a conversation with you before the service starts. I went to see Brenda. I went to see Brenda to bless Brenda. You know who got more blessed? I went to see Brenda to bless her, and I came out more blessed. I listened to her conversation, I listened to her wisdom, and I thought, you know, I can't wait to see her again. I came out more blessed. What a godly woman. Is it easy? No. And even when we're doing things right, things happen. And when you're trying to be a priest at home, when you're trying to be a priest in the church, when you're trying to be a priest in work, is it easy? No. Recently, somebody had a conversation with me, and it wasn't in church, and it wasn't a good conversation. It was a conversation that caused me some distress, and it caused me some upset afterwards. I didn't speak to anyone about it. Spoke to Andy when I got home. It had an immediate effect on me. And I basically was told I'd done something wrong. And it really sort of, it shook me a little bit. Because it was something I was doing at work. And afterwards, I just thought, Lord, I'm not going to react how immediately, naturally I want to react. I don't want to be defensive. I don't want to be abrupt. I don't want to be nasty. I don't want to say things. I don't want to get people on my side or anything like that. I just said, God, just sort this situation out and take my hurt away. I'm not going to lie to you, I had a couple of sleepless nights because I did feel that it was unwarranted what was said to me. I did feel really upset. And you know what God did? As I prayed, and I did pray, within 2 days, I got this impression I'm going to read out, because it was as clear as this. I'm going to read out what I felt God speak to me. Do not change what you are doing and the way you're doing it. It's working. Carry on doing what you're doing. That's what God told me. So even though someone else had told me that I was doing something wrong and the way I was doing it wasn't right, God straight away told me, no, you've given it to me. You've handed it to me. You're upset. I know you are. But carry on doing what you're doing. What you're doing is right. I thought, that'll do for me. So I went in work with a little spring in my step. And I thought, I'm not going to let this situation dominate me. I'm not going to let this situation make me lose sleep. I'm going to trust you, God, because what I'm doing is right and the way I'm doing it is right. And I'm going to carry on. And I did. And God's blessed me. Why am I telling you this? Because the priesthood that we walk in is about our relationship with God and man. And because it changes, it's got to change our behaviour. It can't be that we react the way we want to react. So to summarise, because I'm finishing now, what is God asking you to do in 2023? Ask him. The priesthood is two elements. Look up and look what's going on around you. The people you meet, your relatives, your friends, work colleagues, the people that you stand at the gate with, people you go to college with, people that you work with. You are his hands and his feet, his listening ear. Because of Jesus' life, his death and Holy Spirit, which he's given us. And you have the authority to bring those needs to God and be his representative and to be his priest. I'm going to pray for you. I want you to close your eyes. I'm going to pray this prayer. And as I'm praying it, if anything in this prayer that I'm saying sort of resonates with you, I just want you to lift your head up and just let me know, because what I'm going to do over the next few weeks, I'm not going to get you out for prayer, I'm not going to get the elders out or anything at this stage, I just want you to acknowledge that you need to be different for this 2023, and that it's a faith thing between you and God. But I'm going to pray for you. Okay, so shut your eyes and put your head down, and then I know if anybody looks up, I'm going to start to pray. Lord, as my high priest, as the one who loves the Father and serves others, healed, blessed, and provided for others, Lord, let me live a life this year that is not just for me, but for those I meet daily. To show your love, peace, and anointing, let my life be an example for your glory and show your grace. Lord, let me know your purpose in my life. Show me what I should be doing this year. I want to be nearer to you. You are a breath away. Let that be a reality in my life. I want to experience a life where you show me what I should be doing for others. Help me to pray for those who I'm in contact with, and let the needs that people have be met by you. There are so many issues, God, out there, but I know and I thank you that you have the answers for them all. Let God use your unused potential, the untapped resource, in 2023. God bless you.